You're listening to the Paradise Valley Music Hour on KVSHLP Vashon. That was the Beach Boys, All Summer Long. I'm Rick. This is a Paradise Valley Music Hour on KVSHLP Vashon 101.9 FM. Today is a little different than normal. Today I have Danny Powers in the studio, and he is the creator and the mind behind the Camp Cobain. And you also did Camp Courtney a few months back.
I did, yeah.
That was awesome. That was fun.
Thank you. Yeah, that was an unexpected. These things kind of pop up on me and happen unexpectedly, and I get a few songs together, and that one just happened to be a female artist instead of the normal grunge fare, I suppose.
Yeah, female artists are, if you've listened to the show at all, the female artists is what I play mostly.
Excellent. I love that.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that, but, something about a woman, I played that King Shine for you earlier, before we started, and there was a woman who can sing, and they rock.
They rock.
That's what I love.
What a song.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Look more into that, for sure.
So, Camp Cobain is coming up first Friday, February 2nd, at Mindset.
Yep.
Down there, and... Now, at Camp Courtney, you had, there was a nice fire pit there, and there was little kids running around, and they were toasting s'mores and all that stuff. You got that same thing going on?
Absolutely. The first Camp Cobain was very much like that, too. And that's the camp theme was very healthy throughout.
Yeah.
So, that's what we aim for. I want people to sing along and, have a hot dog and roast s'mores and listen to a song that they've heard of and... maybe they don't know the words, but I project the words up too so people can all sing along and stuff like that.
That's awesome. I didn't notice that.
That wasn't at Camp Courtney because that just kind of fell into my lap. But the first Camp Cobain, I had the words up on a screen so people could all sing along.
That is great. That's great. I'm looking forward to this a lot. So the Beach Boys, now we talked about, as we were setting this up, we talked about, musical influences and stuff like that, The Beach Boys. That's an old song.
It is.
And you're not an old guy.
I'm not. Well, thanks for saying that. It depends who you ask.
So how did that come about in your... how'd you get turned on to the Beach Boys, I guess is what I'm saying.
I saw American Graffiti. And I was a little kid, and I heard some Beach Boys songs, and that movie actually ends with that song, All Summer Long. And it was the first tape that I remember asking for. I was 6 or 7 years old and asked my parents to buy me or find me a Beach Boys tape. And my dad is originally from Florida, from St. Augustine. And I think because of that, he just hated the Beach Boys because they were everywhere. But I got this tape, the Endless Summer. It was the name of the album. And that's actually, it came out after American Graffiti, featuring songs from the 60s to capitalize on American Graffiti because it had a bunch of Beach Boys songs in it. So Endless Summer was something like 22 songs, none of them over 2 minutes, or none of them over 3 minutes, I should say. And all the Beach Boys' greatest hits. And I listened to that riding my bike around the neighborhood, and I just wore that out. I don't want to give away how the sausage is made, but we talked about coming on the show, and one of your questions is, what is the first record that you got that wasn't your parents' music? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's kind of, that was a little bit hard to nail down for me. Because there is the first one that I remember buying.
Yeah.
There's others that I found on the radio or that I asked for. So this is one of the Beach Boys is certainly the first band that I was really into. And it was just mesmerizing with the harmonies and the feeling of, you know, Surf and Safari and In My Room and Help Me Rhonda.
Yeah, yeah, all those songs. I remember that. Yeah. I remember when they came out too, it was, the Beach Boys.
To say nothing of Good Vibrations. I mean, come on.
Good Vibrations. When I was a little kid, we lived in Germany. My dad was in the service.
You know? Same. We'll get into that.
Okay. So at the AYA, they had a jukebox, and they never changed the records, but Good Vibrations was on that jukebox. When I hear Good Vibration, it takes me back to Germany in 1969, you know?
We'll be talking about Germany in 1989 shortly.
All right.
Yeah, the Endless Summer, that album, I just wore the hell out of that. And I asked for that. And then my dad brought home Dire Straits and Bruce Springsteen and another mixtape that had a bunch of Guns N' Roses and Van Halen on it. So I didn't choose any of those because they just kind of showed up you know, in my
orbit. Dad had good taste.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I also was brought up on, I should say, a lot of 70s, you know, Cat Stevens, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Neil Young was big in my house. And also like some quasi-Christian rock like Don Francisco and Amy Grant, some old stuff like that. But it was all like guitar and rich harmonies and things like that. So that's what I kind of gravitated to.
When we were talking about putting this together, I had you make up a set list so that, or a playlist, you know, for the thing here, and plus you brought your guitar along so you could play some live in the studio stuff. I see you have it sitting right there next to you. You want to do that now, or you want to play a different song?
Sure. No, I'll play it now.
All right.
I do want to talk about the impetus of Camp Cobain too.
Yeah, because, let's talk about that.
So I started hanging out at this local place called The Coop that I know that you know of. A lot of local people may not because it's kind of tucked away. It's a private residence and such. And they frequently invite people to come and play a song that they like based on a theme. And I went and played a Bon Jovi song, Dead or Alive, and got a great response and realized as I was talking to people afterwards that I cared as much about Bon Jovi as other people. And I should say the demographic is a bit older than I am.
Yeah.
People there care.
That's fair to say.
Yeah. How they feel about, you know, Bob Dylan is how I feel about Bon Jovi because that's what I came up with. That's what I, was raised on. And I realized I wanted to show more people songs that I grew up with, and played in a more palatable fashion than maybe they would hear on the radio or on the record. So, that's how Camp Cobain started. And talking about the artists, too. A big part of Camp Cobain, like I said, I share the lyrics and stuff, but I also talk about the bands and how much I like, you know, Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer for Smashing Pumpkins, is easily as good as John Bonham, and I'll fight anyone who thinks otherwise. So little things like that I like to talk about. But I'll play a song. I also like to do medleys of older songs and newer songs. So this is a little bit of Stone Temple Pilots, a little bit of Well, you'll see. All right. Is this loud enough?
Yeah, go ahead and just start playing and I'll adjust things as we go.
Driving faster in my car. Falling farther from just what we are. Smoke a cigarette and lie some more. As conversations kill. Driving faster in my car. Time to take her home. Dizzy head is conscience laid in. Time to take a ride. At least today, no conversation. Time to take her home. Dizzy head is conscience laid in. Time to wait too long. To wait too long. To wait too long. Be on my side. Be on your side. There's no reason for you to hide. It's so hard for me staying here all alone. You could be taking me for a ride. She could drive me.
That was a medley.
That was a little bit of a medley.
Yeah. I heard Stone Temple Pilots.
Yep.
I heard Neil Young.
That's another.
I heard Screaming Trees.
Screaming Trees. Yeah. You know, apologies to Greg Curry, but I wanted him to sing that.
Oh,
the
well.
Screaming Trees part. And eventually that'll happen too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where I would, you know, talk a little bit about what happened to Scott Weiland and how great the bass player is. The DeLeo brothers from the Stone Temple Pilots are amazing musicians. And Neil Young, you can't say, what can I say about
Neil Young?
I don't need to say anything about Neil Young.
Everybody knows him.
You know, Mark Lanegan recently passed away, semi-recently passed away. And Screaming Trees were a big influence on me earlier. And this is, you know, that's a little taste of Camp Cobain.
All right.
Well, I like looking out and being like, and seeing people have the realization, oh, I know that song.
I know that song.
Let me tell you a little more about it.
That's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. And I've been talking to people and they said, they'd asked me, hey, are you going to the Camp Cobain thing? I said, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
So remember that, folks. That's Friday night. What time?
It is Friday night. So it's part of the Hot summer nights over at the Apothecary, the Mindset Apothecary. Mm-hmm. Colette Jones, amazing singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
She's starting at 5:30. Or rather, they start at 5:30, and Camp Cobain starts at 7:30.
And the Apothecary, for you guys that don't know, it's just you know, a few doors south of Snappy's.
Right. Yeah. Next to Euphorium. Can't
right.
miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Across the street from my grandma's house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, it's across the street from your grandma's house.
Yeah. Well, all right. So now we have a bunch of songs to get through.
Yeah.
So, and we could talk all day. Let's listen to some music.
Okay, sounds good.
So the next thing is A Little Respect by Erasure. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I also grew up in the service and moved around every 3 years. This is when I was in New York. My family was in New York. I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and I discovered the radio, and it was K104 Poughkeepsie, New York, was the radio station. I think it's called K-Rock now. And this was a time when you could buy blank cassette tapes. I had a Maxell green 90-minute cassette tape that I would leave in my stereo in my bright little room in our row house in New York, and I would just record songs off the radio all day long, and that's where I discovered some of my formative music. But when I think back to those mixtapes, this is the song that always is first in my head.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to it, Erasure. Now, I had never heard this band or this song, so, you know, and I only listened to a few minutes of it, so
yeah,
I'm excited to discover it along with other people,
it's
probably.
Some classic 80s.
Well, there we go. All right. A Little Respect by Erasure.
Why you make me work so hard that you keep
Bon Jovi, I'll be there for you. Yeah. That's a song right there.
Oh, man, it's so good. And, you know, I was saying while it was playing, I've heard that song probably 200, 300 times in my life, and it never gets old. That high note that he hits in the middle,
yeah,
forget about it.
Yeah.
But I chose that song because, well, like I said, I started finding my own music on the radio. And I grew up in a military family. We were in West Point, New York, and my sister comes home from YS, Youth Services, or YA, Youth Activities, with a Bon Jovi tape. So she brought Bon Jovi into the house.
Older, younger?
Your sister? Slightly older. Yeah. So my big sister, Jessica. And she took me to a dance soon thereafter at the YA and had them play Bon Jovi, you know, your love is like bad medicine. And it was just enthralling. And so I have these great memories of, you know, going to Pizza Hut in Newburgh, New York, and finding Dead or Alive on the jukebox and turning it on with a quarter from my mom and eating pizza and listening to Bon Jovi. So it was very, very formative for me.
That's what I love about music.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you hear even one note of a song can take you to a place, you know, take you back to a place, take you to... Yeah.
And, you know, there's, I was also saying, there's a great documentary on Hulu right now about Bon Jovi, a four-parter that goes through their entire catalog. And he's such a solid dude, like a stand-up dude. So a lot of people might think it's, you know, hair metal or butt rock or 80s rock or something. Yeah. But, like, those songs, I can't speak to his new stuff, honestly. But the stuff that came out in the 80s and 90s, he's just consistently killed it. And it's just... important to me, you know.
A lot of artists have you know, a period, you know, and I think it's more to do with us as listeners, like you say, not speaking to his new stuff, you know. It's more to do with us as listeners, I think, than it is the artists sometimes. You know, yeah, they have a period a lot of times, and then later on you don't think about them as much, and you know,
your horizons expand, you find other bands and you get into other things.
Yeah, that's probably it. I know we were talking about, you know, I was telling you, you know, that I don't want to hear music that I've been hearing the last 70 years, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not 70, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so that speaks to your point of expanding horizons, you know. You know, there's a lot of new stuff to listen to. There's a lot of old stuff to listen.
Yeah, and you know, since you brought it up, none of that needs to be gate kept.
Exactly, that's my point.
People get pretty precious about the things that they were into first, or they knew, you know, they were. I'm going to say this right now on the air. I didn't get into David Bowie until 2017.
Let's see, that's only a couple minutes ago.
That's a couple minutes ago, I got really into it. Like, Diamond Dogs was on repeat nonstop in my house 3 years ago. Before that, you know, I knew a few
the hits.
I knew Heroes, you know, but and that's one of the reasons I'm never particularly precious about the bands that I listen to, because I don't want people to think that they're more special to me than they are to anyone else, because it doesn't belong to me. None of this belongs to me, except for this next song.
Except for this next song, which is?
So this is, my dad was in the service, like I said. We lived in Germany. He was a career guy. He went to Sergeant Major's Academy in Texas and asked my sister and myself what we wanted him to bring back. I was 9 or 10. Jessica was 11 or 12. I asked for some comic books, I think. And Jessica had been getting into Outkast and Tribe Called Quest, rap groups. I think another important piece of context is we went from New York, very kind of affluent area as far as the military is concerned, and we moved to Berlin. And the schools there are much more diverse. Military schools are incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
So we got into a lot of R&B, a lot of hip hop. And at the time it was Boys to Men, Bell Biv DeVoe, the East Coast, West Coast thing was blowing up.
Yeah.
There were whispers in my fourth grade, fifth grade class about NWA and the gangster rap, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Jessica clued into, you know, props to her. Tribe is just an incredibly influential alternative hip hop band. And my dad brought home a tape, and we just wore that tape out, Tribe Called Quest.
Yay for your dad, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, coming from a military family, you think, you know, you might think a little more conservative in you know, tastes and lifestyle. And dad bringing home a Tribe Called Quest. Yay, dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He gets credit for that, for sure. But Jessica, too. So,
well, let's listen to this right now. Verses from the Abstract, Tribe Called Quest.
I had a dream about my man last night. And my man came by the studio. And his name is Busta Rhymes in effect. Shaheed is in effect. Fife Diddog is in effect. Check it out and give me my spec. I'm moving, yes, I'm moving, cause my mouth is on the motor. Use the coast in the morning to avoid the funky odor. Can't help being funky, I'm the funky abstract brother. Funky in the sense, but I play the undercover. Once had a fetish, fetish for some booty. Now I'm getting funky in my rapping, that's my duty. Brothers tend to jock on a style in particular. If you got the ego like some brothers, then I'll get with you. But if I don't pursue, then I just don't give a f-. My motto in the 90s is be happy making ducks. Girls love the gym because it causes crazy friction. When it goes up in, it fluctuates the diction. I still understand the oomph because that's what I'm at for. I'm hooked on the swing, so just call me the music whore. Women love the voice, brothers dig the lyrics. Quest of people's choice, we thriving for the spirit. If you can't hear it, then get the wax utensils. Write my rhyme straight up, don't get with no fancy stencil. The rhymes be getting sweet, we stay away from talk. A perfectionist at work, perking up the art. If you want to battle, I suggest you check your clock. Your demise is coming up, and I want your man to watch. Be the prime example, a deeper still the sample. Insignificance, here I place you on the mantle. Born up in Harlem, reside now in Jamaica. The girl I used to rock, her mom's was a Quaker. And what does that make her? The evil money taker. The crazy move faker, I use that to break her. Fife is in the house. Uncle Mike is in the house. Rob Power is in the house. Tim Latham is in the house. Wise Men is in the house. The Brand Noobs is in the house. The JBs, they in the house. And Jay Lock, they in the house. I must regroup my thoughts and kick the next verse for my people. Please don't be deceived by the ugly sights of evil. The world is kinda cold and the rhythm is my blanket. Wrap yourself up in it, if you love it then you'll thank it. Don't move to rebuttal, wave your hand for action. Some women in the 90s want more than satisfaction. They want keys and G's and all those illy things. If you want to, I'll show you just what the app can bring. I keep a tight net with my brothers Ken and Kenny. If the question is of rhymes, then I'll tell you I got plenty. The thing that men and women need to do is stick together. Progressions can't be made if we're separate forever. I hook this funky beat with the loop and the feature. Is the funky singing by Miss Vinia Mojica. So listen, because the quest is led through the underground. My people have been oppressed too long, no more will we be down. People tend to riff cause they don't know the mental. People tend to bug cause the beats are hard but gentle. Afro candle lurks through the body of this youngin'. Play like Bobby Bird on your back and you're coming to the house of the jazz, of the funk, of the rhythm. All the goods are welcome, but if you're a villain, I'll just wait and debate. Contemplate your arrival. If flexing is your motive, then you don't like survival. The abstract is speaking, the heartbeats is reaching. The black and Puerto Ricans cause they're butt naked streaking through the ever murky streets of the urbanized area. Blasting out the speakers is the hip-hop hysteria. Craig is in the house. Pete Rock is in the house. CL is in the house. Ultra Mag is in the house. Nice and Smooth is in the house. Big Daddy Kane is in the house. Beat Nuts is in the house. It's in the house. Yeah, 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 yeah. And this one goes out to my man. Thanks a lot, Ron Carter. On the bass, yes, my man Ron Carter is on the bass. And check it out. Going into the 91 decade, up and until the 2000 decade, you gotta say, the quest is on. And goddamn it, that's the quest is on. And we out. We'll be right back.
That was Bikini Kill and their song Out of Me. I'm Rick. This is the Paradise Valley Music Hour on KVSHLP 101.9 FM Vashon. Today in the studio, I have Danny Powers with me. He's the creative brains behind Camp Cobain, Camp Courtney, and a bunch of other cool stuff. So tell me about that Bikini Kill song. Now, they're out of Olympia.
Yes. Yeah. There's between the last two songs we played, Tribe Called Quest and Bikini Kill, I discovered Nirvana and got really into everything I could get my hands on that was Nirvana adjacent. Mm-hmm. So all the big Seattle bands, you know, in addition to, you know, I would listen to interviews of Kurt Cobain and he would mention Bikini Kill. And then I got a girlfriend, a longtime girlfriend in high school who made me a mixtape and we'd had a fight. It's a funny story about that song you just heard. She made me what I thought was a mixtape of Bikini Kill, but it was that song like 16 times.
Is that what you got in the fight over?
No. That was her genius response to whatever the fight was. I don't even remember what the fight was, but I still have that tape. That's only that song over and over again.
My son, my oldest boy, it was a reporter in Olympia. Mm-hmm. And when Bleach came out, he was the entertainment reporter for the Olympia paper. Mm-hmm. When Bleach came out, he came home and he said, you got to listen to this tape. You have to listen to this tape. And it was, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing that Bikini Kill did for me and a lot of the Olympia bands, because I started at the time I was still in Germany and I was trying to ingest as much as I could from the Olympia scene and the Kill Rock Stars band and the K Records bands, a lot of which I cut from the set list for time. But it did two things. It made me realize how much I love DIY recording, how much I love DIY music and the aesthetic and not the over polished studio musician type stuff.
That I had been listening to.
Yeah, I still appreciated those things, but here's this whole new thing that was like within my grasp. Like I could record something and sound like that and be, you know, as feel as important a song as Bikini Kill was. Like I saw a clear path to production all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I decided then that I wanted to move to the Pacific Northwest. I'd never been out here before, so I left home when I was 17 and moved to Olympia because of Bikini Kill.
Because of Bikini Kill?
Yes.
Have you ever met him?
Met Bikini Kill?
Yeah.
I have not. But I read Kathleen Hanna's autobiography a few weeks ago. It was fantastic.
Oh, I mean, it would be interesting to, you know, be able to tell them what they mean to you.
You know, they're playing in like 2 weeks at the South Sound Block Party in Olympia.
Ooh, damn, I know where you're going to be.
August 24th, yeah. Yeah. So I moved to Olympia. I started a few different bands, the Menthols, the Smoking Chickens. We had a few good shows, but a band that we played with called Soylent Green out of Montesano, they were like the pinnacle of cool. They were only a couple years older than us, but they did this thing where they would climb up on each other's shoulders and play their solos and stuff like that, and they just rocked so hard. So
good stage presence.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Soylent Green is another band that was really formative for me, just watching them from the wings.
Well, it just so happens that we have a Soylent Green cut right here, right
what?
Now. And it's coming up next.
All right.
Who knew? Soylent Green, Opaque. KVSHLP, 101.9 FM, Vashon.
Town. was the first time I saw you smile. And on your leg you strapped a smart shining pistol, and you had every lonesome eye. And it goes to show that you can win with the banner on a train car and the smell of your perfume, baby. I thought I'd died and gone to hell. The dark depressing pastures that just go on forever. When you came into town I spare the girl who'd smitten me, to which Calamity did say, it's not the way you love, but something else I'm thinking of that makes my trigger finger stay. But I can't promise things will be the same at sundown, so you both best be on your way. So I pack as fast as I can.
That was Calamity by the Menthols.
Yes.
So the Menthols.
Yeah, that I played every instrument that you heard on that, and recorded it on an analog 8-track Yamaha MT-8X, where you have to bounce all the tracks down to make more tracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Recorded on a cassette tape. Yeah, that was about 2003, 2004 when I moved to Illinois, played a lot of shows around the Southern Illinois and Chicago, a little bit of Madison, Wisconsin, in a band called the Moonbuggy Kids. And that's where I got into, I want to say it's like Violent Femmes, except angry. And so I got myself a banjo and a mandolin and taught myself how to play these things and just started recording all these songs. And Calamity is one that kind of just stuck with me.
And how long had you been playing by that point?
I'd maybe 10 years or so. And we kind of glossed over that. I picked up a guitar that my dad just left lying around and taught myself a few chords, and it just took off from there when I was about 14. And I think I recorded Calamity when I was about 24 or so.
So now you're you know, you're 25, 30 years into playing,
mm-hmm.
something like that, 25 years, let's say that. So how do you think music's changed you from when you started to like where you're at in your life now?
We talked a little bit about this before the show. I want to I want to not care what people think about my musical taste, but I kind of do. But I do. I care a lot less than I used to. So I feel like my horizons have certainly opened. In high school, I was all about Nirvana and Kurt Cobain and Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, all the big four. But since then, especially, getting into some other stuff that's more Americana and roots focused and acoustically driven, I'm much more interested in kind of melding the old and the new. And I guess that's kind of what Cam Cobain's about too. Finding unexpected jams, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kind of a roundabout answer to your very straightforward question.
Well, next, you have a couple songs here. Now we're getting close to time. We got 10 minutes left. So 3, 4, 5. We got time. We got time to listen to Cold War Kids.
Yeah.
And their song St. John.
I volunteered to go to the Middle East. I spent a lot of time in Kuwait and Iraq and Afghanistan setting up education centers. It was a lonely 4 years, just traveling around. But I would, every once in a while, I'd get care packages. And this was a CD in a care package I got, the Cold War Kids album, Robbers and Cowards. And just an amazing band. And the guy's voice is fantastic. I think this album was produced by Jack White of the White Stripes. But yeah, phenomenal band. And every time I hear this, it reminds me of the desert.
Well, I'm just learning this about you right now.
Yeah.
Because, we've met a couple times. But, so along with many of our listeners, I'm sure, I'm learning new stuff today, too. And that's a story I'd like to hear more about, but we don't have time today.
We'll delve into that.
Off
the air.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Cold War Kids and their song, St. John.
Supper time in the hole. Supper time in the hole. I shame my family, shame my home. Supper time. Old St. John on death row. He's just waiting for a pardon. Old St. John on death. In the hole, supper time. I shame my family, shame my home. Supper time. A young girl turned the corner with the clerk dress on. That girl was my sister. Just got off the night shift at Pennington's place. Just wanna go home. Sleep. Boys grabbed by the waist with the caffeine eyes. The hands are fidgety electric. I picked up a brick from a papa's front yard and threw it at the tallest boy's face. Where blood was streaming like a whereabouts from. I couldn't believe what I had just done. Well, that other boy ran and this one stayed on the ground and he would never move again. Old St. John on deck. Just
I can see you every night. I can see you every night. I can see you every night.
Ah, jeez. There's the mic. Well, you know what? It's a little later than we thought. So we have about 40 seconds left.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. We've both been anxiously watching the clock.
Yeah, but I kind of lost track of where it was. And we could have cut that last one, but it was such a great song that I wanted to play it.
Yeah, that's by Chibo Mato. They were a band, a Japanese band, that actually played with Nirvana when they did a Japanese tour back in the day and covered that. That was a Nirvana song. And I just love it so much.
Yeah.
And I cover that song frequently, and my other band, Croaker, covers that song. That's why I wanted to play it.
We got to go.
We got to go.
Yep. All right, you guys. Once again, thanks for joining me this week on the Paradise Valley Music Hour, KBSHLP 101.9 FM Vashon. And I'll be done pretty quick here, baby. I'll be home soon.